everyone. Hang on.
War Midwest Guys presents Star Wars Rebels Recon.
My name is Rex, Captain, 501st Clone Battalion.
I'm not afraid.
That's what worries me.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Master.
The rebels of the Lothal system. Hunt them down.
As you wish. Your master has deceived you into believing you can become a Jedi.
Things are getting worse just as they did back when I was your age. Back then, there were 10,000 Jedi Knights protecting the galaxy. Now,
there's just you and me.
All right, if I tag along?
The more the merrier.
Mission accomplished.
Hello and welcome back to Four Midwest Guys Presents Star Wars Rebels Recon. Today we will be reviewing the episode Legacy. With me today is Brian Ankenbauer. Brian, say hi.
What's up? What's up?
Not much. And we actually have all three of us together for a change. And my brother Aaron. Say hello, Aaron.
Hi.
All right. So, everybody excited to talk some Star Wars Rebels?
Oh, heck yeah. It's been a couple weeks for me, right?
Yep. Welcome back to the fold, Mr. Ankenbauer. Aaron, you ready to roll on this?
Yeah, ready when you guys are.
All right. So, on this episode, we kind of finally get to see what happens to Ezra's parents. So, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't watched the episode. So, we find out that Ezra is his parents have been, I guess, he has like this vision of his parents and kind of sets it in motion as to what happens. One of the things I really liked about this episode, we kind of got to see Ezra kind of come into his own. They were pinned down, and the Empire had him pinned down, and he kind of goes on like a force rage moment almost because he wants to get the Lothal, and they're in his way, and it just shows how much more powerful he's becoming, because he not only does he take out two stormtroopers deflecting lightsabers, he's doing flips and everything else, and all to almost Kanan's surprise, because it's the first time Kanan's seen it. We kind of saw it in the previous episode, but this time Kanan kind of sees it, and he kind of takes credit for it. Well, yeah, I taught him, because, you know, Zeb's kind of in shock, too, to see that he took him down. And luckily, Kanan is able to close the door before he gets into a lightsaber fight with the Inquisitors. I don't know. What did you guys think about that scene? Do you like it?
I enjoyed it.
Oh, sorry. Brian, you go first.
Oh, okay. Well, I enjoyed the scene, but I like all the Jedi lightsaber duels and everything else. My only concern with it, he's using a lot of, you called it force rage.
Yes.
He's using a lot of anger.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my question is he going to turn to the dark side? He's getting awfully powerful, awful fast. I think we've seen it happen before with some guy named Anakin.
Yes, we have. It's a great point, and it's definitely something I've been thinking about as of late. Aaron, what do you think?
There is definitely a character arc for Ezra where they're really kind of, you know, tempting him with the dark side, and I think that's a point you brought up in, what was it, a few podcasts back, where that's really been one of his kind of story arcs, whereas he's really kind of tapped into his rage, and in this episode, kind of a desperation.
Yeah, it's very, his past so far is very, as Brian said, is very eminent of Anakin Skywalker, the fact that we've heard him say in the past, I'm getting more powerful every day. I'm going to get more powerful. You know, that was the same thing Anakin was saying the whole time. Mm. It was like, I'm going to be more powerful. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, I'm going to be the most powerful Jedi ever. You know, that's what Anakin said. So it parallels Anakin's journey a lot, in my opinion. So it's definitely a concern, for, you know, him going to the dark side. He's walking that very fine line. between the two. And we've already seen him tap into the dark side back in season one when he, you know, tapped into that large beast with the dark side to control it. Yeah, to fight the Inquisitor, which, you know, he collapsed from it because he didn't even know he did it. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if Kanan remain in control of Ezra going forward. I don't know. Do you guys think Kanan can remain in control of him, or do you think he's going to lose control, or maybe he's already lost control? What do you think?
It seems like it's going to be something that's going to be harder as it gets along, and it's already been difficult for him to do anyway, especially because he never officially became a Jedi. He was only a trainee himself when, you know, the whole Clone Wars thing was coming to an end, and it definitely makes it hard since he's been questioning a lot of his training with Ezra to begin with.
Yeah, definitely. Brian, what do you think?
Well, I'm kind of torn about it. I think he's going to do a good job, but I think they're playing it up like he's more so Ezra's father figure. So they'll play that whole, you know, I'm your father, listen to me, and then he's going to rebel against his father kind of thing. I think that's what we're going to see.
Yeah.
Because, he, you know, he said, you know, like you, I didn't know my parents, you know, I grew up without anybody, but unlike me, I'm not going to leave you like I was left without a mentor.
Yeah, Kanan kind of almost like Obi-Wan, really, with Anakin. Yeah, where they had kind of a father-son relationship, even though he, you know, by the time we got to Revenge of the Sith, he's called him his brother. But still, I mean, it was pretty much the same thing, you know. So, I don't know. Can Kanan avoid Obi-Wan's failure? You know, that's a great point, Brian, and one I hadn't really thought about up till now. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, he's a little bit more, I'm not to say Obi-Wan's not caring, but he's a little bit more on the open side with you know, with Ezra. I mean, he's kind of there to console him when he finds out his parents are dead. Spoiler alert, by the way. So, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see because, like Aaron said, you know, he's not a full Jedi. He was never fully trained, so he's winging his way through this, and I don't know if that self-doubt in himself is going to translate into, you know, as returning to the dark side, maybe. I don't know. So it'd definitely be a point of discussion going forward, and so I think it's going to be a theme not just for this season, but I think we saw it last season, so I think it might even be a whole series kind of theme. So it'll be interesting to see if it plays out at the end of this season or if it just continues. Do you guys think it'll be the entire series, Brian, or do you think it'll be, you know, just maybe we'll see the conclusion this season to that storyline?
You know, it might be one of those we'll see it through the end of this season and maybe into the first quarter of next season, just so there's some kind of tie-in between the two seasons because they tend to do that as well.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Aaron, what do you think?
It's definitely something I think we could see continue kind of playing out in chunks throughout the next season or so.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, I think we covered that pretty well. Brian, I think you had one other. What was your other point that you wanted to talk about today?
I had a couple ones that I wanted to talk about, but one of the things one of my scenes or whatever that I we'll go with what I liked first before I go with what I didn't like.
Okay.
One of the things I liked was the whole scene where they're making their getaway, and Hera takes out the tractor beam.
Yeah, physically.
because she got shot by the TIE fighter, so she's taking out the tractor beam physically. She knocks the dish off and it hits the TIE fighter.
Yeah.
I mean nothing compares to the lightsaber duel for me with the Force Rage. That was probably by far my favorite scene, but this is probably my second.
Yeah.
You know, it just shows off her. The action sequence was really good, but it shows off Hera's ability to, you know, pilot, what kind of pilot she is. You know, Jeb was in the top, and he's like, what are you doing? And then all of a sudden, she tilts the plane just right to knock it off. I thought that was a pretty cool scene.
Oh, I agree. It definitely shows her piloting skills, and yeah, she definitely gave Zeb a nice scare.
Yeah.
They've been highlighting her piloting skills throughout the season.
Yeah, they really have. That's a good point. You know, we saw it with the B-Wing episode and So, yeah, yeah. Definitely showing her grit and her determination to, you know, to save her fellow comrades by putting her own ship at risk, really. I mean, she didn't know how strong that thing could have been. I mean, for all she knew, it would have crashed, you know, destroyed the ship.
Right.
Maybe. So, yeah, you know, that does bring up another point that I hadn't thought about until now. One of the things I didn't like was how come the Star Destroyers weren't firing at him the minute they took off? They were flying under him the whole time.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either.
I was just like, really? They're just flying under the Star Destroyers and they're not shooting at them. Okay. Because there's like three or four of them.
Maybe they're just trying to be like a wall.
I guess. I was just like, really? Okay.
They're flying right above. They're like, we're not touching you. We're not touching you.
I was like, all right, sure. Yeah, we're just going to hover here. But, yeah, I mean, it might have just been part of the plot. I'm sure it was just for plot line or whatever. But I don't know. Aaron, what do you think about that? That whole escape
one of those a little amusing things. But overall, the entire, you know, invasion of Grell was a pretty interesting scene. Like, it was kind of interesting to see how they actually pulled the stormtroopers back before they actually started the invasion.
Yeah, we hear that's kind of Empire from Sabine. We hear it's kind of Empire protocol, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
it was an interesting little, you know, aspect to it.
Tidbits, yeah.
Yeah.
I did think it was kind of cool to see the Star Destroyers in the atmosphere. You know, that's something we hadn't seen a whole lot of. Even in the movies, there wasn't a whole lot of that, you know.
Except for the trailer for the new one, we actually see it on a planet.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So, you know, it's kind of, I guess, as, you know, back when the original trilogy came out, there just wasn't, you know, they didn't have the technology to do stuff like that. So,
well, that's because everything blew up in space.
Exactly, right? It was just easier to do, but I think the first time we saw our Star Destroyer in the atmosphere was probably, Attack of the Clones, when you see the old class of Star Destroyer, the Clone Wars Star Destroyers take off, or whatever, at the end of Attack of the Clones, I guess. But, but yeah, so it was kind of cool to see, I thought. But, yeah, pretty neat. Pretty neat. All right, so let's go to the end of the episode, guys. Let's go to the Ezra's vision of his parents while looking at the two moons. The city he was looking at that he's suddenly back at the. I'm assuming it's the capital of Lothal. Do you think it's the capital of Lothal, or do you think it's some other city? Because it actually looks like it's by the sea. And
I thought it was the city they were previously in Lothal, because like they have the base that was blown up and everything.
Yeah, it just looks so dramatically different from what we've seen so far of the Lothal capital city, which the name eludes me at this time. Brian, what do you think? Do you think it's the same city before the Empire shows up? Because they do say that, or is it maybe some other city?
I think it's actually the what Ezra remembers the city being prior to the Empire coming, and how beautiful and how he didn't want anything to change. And he, you know, it's how he's remembering that city.
So it's kind of like,
that's my opinion on it.
So it's kind of like his Nirvana kind of moment, I guess, or when he nostalgic moment maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't think about it that way. That's cool. The other big point of the vision, beside the vision, is we see Ezra looking away at two moons in the distance, and even Kanan says the moons will be setting soon and the sun will be rising. To me, that's almost symbolic. That's kind of like a symbolic moment for me, because in the past, you know, in A New Hope, we see Luke looking away at the distance at two suns setting. Here we see, in contrast, we see Ezra looking away at two moons setting. So I've always said that Ezra, he not only does he parallel his journey a lot like Anakin Skywalker, but it also it's the same as Luke's, except it's different. It's kind of I don't know if they did that on purpose or not, but maybe I'm reading into it too much. But to me, it shows that he's on the same hero's journey as Luke. He is kind of he's powerful, kind of like Luke. But it seems like his path going to be darker. Does that mean that he's going to turn to the dark side, or does that mean that it's just because he's at an earlier stage because his journey takes place during the dark times, before A New Hope, before, you know, Luke shows up and destroys the Death Star and the rebellion really gets going? Does that just mean that his journey is going to be a darker path, per se? Like, he may not turn to the dark side, but he's going to have a heck of a lot harder time. Not that Luke didn't, but, you know, what do you guys think about that?
Well, that's way more than I went into it when I was watching it. You know, I just thought that was part of the scenery. You know, he's saying, you know, the moons are going to set because that's what Lothal has, is two moons and one sun.
Right.
I thought it was more so important because they needed to escape while it was dark. So he's like, you know, come on, the moons are setting, the sun's going to be coming up here soon. We're not going to be able to escape the Empire in our little...
the Phantom.
Yeah, the Phantom.
Mm-hmm.
That was how I took it. But now that you brought it up, that does bring up a point that it's almost like they've mixed the two together in like a Luke Vader kind of progression.
Yeah, it's a mixture of Anakin's path as well as Luke's path. So, I don't know. Aaron, what did you think? What do you think about the whole, the contrast between the two moons setting and the two suns setting?
Well, the Star Wars series has always really kind of enjoyed kind of the hero's journey monomyth. So it's not surprising that it's kind of going over to an extent. But in terms of symbolism, it's hard to take or hard to interpret it without kind of seeing where Rebels goes.
Yeah. Let's take a quick, because I'm beginning to wonder, because one of the things that I actually went back and I watched this episode several times, because that whole two moon thing really it got to me and kind of stuck in my head. So I just wonder if, let's just take a quick poll. Percentage wise, do you think, how likely is it that Ezra is going to turn to the dark side? Ankh-Barra, I'll start with you.
You know, watching his force rage and stuff, I find it hard to go below 70% that he's going to go anything but dark side.
Okay. Aaron, what do you think?
I think there's a good chance he might go to the dark side temporarily, but I think it'd be like a character arc for him. I don't see it being like a permanent transition or anything. So I don't know, like 60%.
Yeah. This kind of goes into my final thought, but I'm going to bring it up now. It's up to this point, I was convinced. I would have said, before I saw this episode, I would have said 100% that he's going to the dark side. I was convinced. But now, I'm not so sure, because they threw the two moon thing in, and it just brings back, I don't know if they're, and now that Ezra's parents are kind of with him, spiritually, and that was the other thing, the way they suddenly just killed off his parents, which I thought Ezra was always going to be involved in somehow, but somehow he wasn't.
I actually thought it was kind of nice how they kind of killed them off, to be honest. Kind of showed as being like rebels, like in, you know, leading a rebellion in the prison system and kind of, you know, being inspired by him in some way.
Well, see, I thought that was cool, but I always, maybe it's just how I envisioned the series going, and maybe I just thought I knew better than the writers did, and the writers are doing what they do best and throwing us a nice curveball here and keep us guessing.
I was just kind of surprised they weren't already killed off within the story. Like, I really just kind of expected him to hear they were dead from the get-go, so.
Well, I listen to the interviews with Dave Filoni, who's the director and creator, or, you know, co-creator of the show, and he said this season would deal with Ezra's parents, and we would see what happened to him. And I guess in my mind, I always, because I had already placed Ezra in the dark side or going to the dark side, that this would be his moment. This would be like Anakin was with his mother. Like, he would go to try to save them. and just fail, like reach them but fail to save them, you know, and that would be how he starts the turn.
Oh, that's 100% how I thought it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Was going to be some kind of like great escape type plan, and Ezra makes it onto one ship after pushing his parents onto the other ship, and as they're going away, the parent ship explodes.
Yeah.
And it just sends Ezra in a downward spiral that puts him on the dark side. Rage, he wants to get revenge. Mm-hmm. You know, that's exactly how I saw it in my head too, man.
Yeah, I was just like, and then they've mixed it up. Because now Ezra, not only does Ezra not have that, but now he has like a guiding light inside of himself almost. You know, we heard his father say, you have to stay strong, son. So now we have this kind of guiding light principle going on inside Ezra. So is that going to be enough to save Ezra from going, you know, making the bad decisions that Anakin Skywalker made, you know? So, yeah, I mean, that's why I've watched this episode like 5 times now because I'm looking for, you know, more stuff and more detail, even though it's really not there. And I don't know.
In all 21 minutes of it?
Yeah, all 21 minutes of it. And God, I hate those commercial breaks. even with a DVR and fast forward. It was such a great episode just because from that perspective for me, because I kept the whole Ezra dark side thing. I was convinced, and apparently not. So, all right. Okay, guys. Well, I think we wanted to talk about today. So let's just get right down to you. Final thoughts. All right, Mr. Enkenbauer, what was what's your grade / final thoughts for this episode, for Legacy?
Okay, so for Legacy, I would give it an A. Mm-hmm. You know, these past 2 episodes, even though I wasn't able to be on the Blast podcast, I really thought these episodes are getting way better. Mm-hmm. The lightsaber scenes are getting better, which is the main thing that I enjoy about Star Wars. You know, just watching those action sequences, I really enjoy those. So I would give it an A. I gave the other one an A as well last week. I did think it was odd the way they killed, like we just discussed. I thought it was odd the way they killed off the parents like that. I really thought we'd get to meet them.
Mm-hmm.
At least temporarily, even if they were, you know, on the verge of dying or whatnot, that we'd actually get to meet them, see the interaction between him and his parents, get that closure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't get that. Now, one thing I was kind of, I'm not going to say disappointed about because I didn't really think it would, but I thought there was a possibility. There was no tie-in, you know, with this being the last episode before The Force Awakens, there was no tie-in really to The Force Awakens, really.
Now, last podcast. Did you listen to the last podcast by chance?
Yeah. The city that was there was kind of a tie-in. I know that.
Yeah.
But there wasn't really, like, I really thought we would have seen
something more.
Something more that there would have been, you know, even if there was, like, a... I don't really know how you put it together, but I thought there would have been some kind of tie-in with Force Awakens. Just because of how well Disney interacts all their products together.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is, and I'm not disappointed that there wasn't.
Right.
Because I want to be surprised when I go see this movie. I'm really trying to avoid these...
spoilers.
These extra
new trailers, new scenes. Like, just yesterday or something like that.
I haven't watched it. It happens all the time. I'm like,
it's been a constant barrage of just like new scenes.
I know, all the TV commercials, to say the least. I mean, it's like, come on. So I'm thankful I watch most of my show, majority of my shows through the DVR, and I fast forward through commercials anyway.
Yeah.
But it's like, come on, quit show. It comes out next this week. Quit showing it.
Oh, I know. It's gonna be, you know, for those of you out there tonight on 60 Minutes, they're gonna do the. I'm DVRing it, and I'll probably watch before I see the movie. But they're gonna go and they're gonna show John Williams doing the music of Star Wars Episode 7. So you're gonna want to check that out. And ESPN, I think Monday is doing a Kendo special.
Monday.
Yeah. They're actually gonna show Kendo, which is and how it relates to lightsaber fighting, which is gonna be fantastic.
How that whole theology relates to being a Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's just like nerddom out to the 10th degree. So
no kidding.
Good final thought, Brian. Moving on, Aaron. What's your final thought?
I thought it was an A for an episode. I mean, you have beautiful shots of Lothal. It's amazingly well animated. You have great action scenes. You really do have a lot of character development for Ezra, and you kind of see that conclusion with his parents, and it's going to be interesting to see how that affects him going forward.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I get, you know, my final thought and grade, it's definitely an A. Great character development for Ezra. Like I said before, I wasn't expecting this at all. This was a complete curveball for me as far as how I thought Ezra was going to develop. I thought he was heading for the dark side, 100%. Now they've thrown in, you know, he's in contact with his dead parents somehow, some way through the Force, or at least he's having these visions. And is that enough? You know, is that enough to keep his anger and his lust for power? You know, let's face it is a lust for power. Is that going to be enough for him to want to, you know, to keep from going to the dark side? So, really good episode. Everybody listening out there, if you haven't seen this episode, they're actually doing a marathon, or they were doing a marathon this morning. I think it's probably still going on. You're gonna want to catch this episode. Absolutely want to catch this episode this time, because it really is a great episode, because it's enough just to keep us guessing. Because now I'm not so sure. Now I think it may be just enough of a guiding light to keep him in the middle, you know, keep him walking the line and keep him, you know, as a good guy all the way through, you know.
Oh, I think there will be that carryover, that story arc, like Aaron was saying. Like, he may go temporary to the dark side,
mm-hmm.
But he may get hauled back in by Kanan.
It's possible. It's very possible. It may not happen at all now. I'm not sure. You know, it's funny how you, like I said, how you think something's going to go, and now I'm not so sure. It's great writing. It really is. It's because I think the writers kind of felt that's probably how we felt, and they recognized that, and now they've thrown this in there, and now we're not sure. You know, so that just makes you want to watch instead of knowing, you know, although, oh, I know it's happening. It's coming. Now I don't know. I have no idea. I have no clue. And I love that. I think that's awesome. So, all right. So where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? You can find us on facebook.com/4MidwestGuys. You can reach out to us on Twitter @4MidwestGuys. And you can reach us at email, for4MidwestGuys@gmail.com. We've gotten a lot of great, response out of our Star Wars special. We're going to record part 3 tonight and release it, probably overnight tonight. That'll be our hopes and fears of episode 7, so make sure you check that out, as well as our follow-up podcast, which will come out next weekend, which will be the final part of our 4-part miniseries, which will be our reactions podcast to The Force Awakens. So make sure you check that out. And if you haven't checked out part 1 and 2, part 1 is the prequel review, part 2 is the original trilogy review. So hit up the feed and check that out as well. It's all out there. You can find us. We're on part of the Podbean. We're also on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. All you have to do is, you know, search for Midwest Guys, and you'll be able to find us. So make sure you check us out and get out there and see us. Brian, thanks for coming along for the ride, sir.
Hey, nice thanks for having me. Also, if you guys want to message me on Twitter, @AnkZone, ANKZONE.
All right.
feel free to reach out with any questions on anything, basically. Star Wars, sports, wrestling. Speaking of wrestling, we have our wrestling recap podcast tonight as well for the pay-per-view.
Yep.
So look forward to hearing from you guys, and may the force be with you.
Absolutely. Aaron, thanks for coming along as always, sir. Where can people find you if they want to reach out to you?
I have no contact information.
He is anonymous for now. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming along, buddy. We really appreciate it, as always. So,
no problem.
All right. And if you want to reach out to me, you can reach out to me at bwilly1977 at Twitter as well. If not, but definitely hit us up on For Midwest Guys as well. So, for myself, for Inkenbauer, and for Aaron, may the force be with you as always.